Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
All right, it is 8:33. It is Wednesday, October 14th. Summer today, fall tomorrow. So get the sweatshirts out because it'll be staying in the 50s tomorrow. Good morning, Charlie Brennan.
Hey, good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Amy Markscores.
Good morning.
All right, before we get too far afoot here or field, whatever the phrase is, let's talk about yesterday's Supreme Court hearings. We finally got to hear a lot more from Amy Coney Barrett. And any thoughts or impressions you were left with, Charlie Brennan?
Yeah, well, it's pretty simple, I think. Democrats are wary of her and Republicans love her, and that's really all you need to know. It looked pretty political. You know, the big topics, of course, were health care and abortion, and people even brought photos and slides and stuff. And I think at the end of the day, she's going to be confirmed quite certainly. And this is a little bit of theater right here. Some points of it irked me. But others, you know, I thought, for example, when Cory Booker asked her if she would, let's say, renounce white supremacy, I thought in a civil society, you wouldn't ask that unless there was suspicion that she did have some sort of white supremacist views. And especially when she's the adoptive mother of two children from Haiti, you know, I think that just raises suspicions, unless, of course, there was some sort of evidence in her record. And I don't believe that there was. And there were some other aspects, too, that overall I would have done differently. But as a conclusion, I think we all know that she's going to be confirmed. So this is just kind of like we're going through the motions.
Painful political grandstanding. You know, they wanted sound bites. They wanted to ask the questions. They wanted the little clip of them asking the questions. I think we saw a lot of, in essence, what would be campaign ad content. Here's what I know about Amy Coney Barrett just from watching the past couple of days. She is a better woman than I am in pretty much every aspect. You talk about long suffering and sitting there and answering the questions and remaining gracious and remaining humble and gentle when you have to sit through hour after hour of this political theater. And yesterday she sat there with no notes like an absolute boss, which I appreciated.
Well, there were a lot of notes at the county council meeting yesterday. Oh, my goodness, were there a lot of notes. They did not end up voting on the bills that we had talked about yesterday because they got more than 2,200 notes, so to speak, comments from people in the county and decided to read those. I think they read 4 hours worth of public comment. So the vote on whether or not to strip away some of the powers of the county executive and the health director is being pushed off until noon today. Sam Page has given every signal that if those bills do pass, he will veto them. Amy, are you surprised that the county council went there and read the comments? We all know you're not supposed to read the comments. That's an internet joke for you. But also, are you surprised that they decided to do that instead of voting on these bills?
Well, it's hard to be surprised by a lot of the actions taken. I would say yes. I mean, there were so many comments, and I was trying to do the math as we were sitting here looking at how long is each comment with over 2,200 comments, and you add that in the minutes and the hours, how long would it take to get through all of them? So I do appreciate the sentiment that you need to hear the voice of your constituents. At the same time, there are these pressing bills that they need to act on. So will they get to the vote today? I don't know. But again, the fact that they're even waiting for this vote, which I guess it's assuming if they vote to restrict the power of Sam Page, he could try to veto that if that would work. It's just so backwards to me. The whole reason that you have the county council as oversight for the county executive is because of the abuses initiated by Steve Stanger. And that oversight was spearheaded by Sam Page. It's very backwards.
Well, it's just bad government. We don't have other bodies opening up and reading every single letter or email that's sent to them. That could be the Supreme Court, Congress, the House of Representatives. The president doesn't start his day by reading every piece of mail or email, and nor should they. It's a waste of time. By the way, from what we understand, there were robocalls sent out by somebody, and I don't know who it was exactly, but they were encouraging people to send emails to, the county council. So they kind of stuffed the ballot there. So that's how they got the 2,200. And it's perfectly legitimate to send these, but the members of the county council can read them at their leisure. They can read them before, they can read them afterwards. But what happened last night, and this is the key, they spent the entire evening until 10:30 reading these, and they got none of the work of St. Louis County done. That's never happened before. It shouldn't happen again. It's bad government. What they need, and right now the chair is a social worker, what they need is someone from business, someone who's got actual management experience to run the show.
All right. Well, we need to run this show because we've got to take a break here. We'll come back with traffic and weather together. And then when we come back, we'll talk about small gatherings, COVID, and stimulus. Stay with us. It's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks Kors. Opinions about needing another stimulus package seem to be all over the place. You have one advisor to the president saying that we don't even need a stimulus. Now we have Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announcing yesterday that the Senate is going to take up a narrow economic relief bill when it comes back into session next week. But then President Trump immediately undermined that move, writing on Twitter, of course, stimulus. He's into all caps with an exclamation mark lately. They're short. Stimulus. Go big or go home. Charlie, any idea why the GOP and the president aren't on the same page? Could it be a pending election?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And I think the president's views have actually transformed or flipped on this one, because he was against spending a lot of money about 10 days ago. And then seemingly late last week or this weekend, he kind of changed his mind on that. And there are some members of the Republican Party who are concerned about the size of the stimulus. You know, it's real money. At some point, it's going to be paid. And the question is by whom and how. And you just can't tax the billionaires, because there's not enough of them to do this, the amount of money that we're spending. So I think that someone's going to have to come up with some sort of focused stimulus where those who are losing their jobs in industries like tourism and hospitality and restaurants and the airlines and cruises, obviously they have to be taken care of. And those who are in homes where they can't pay their rent, there has to be some help for them and their landlords. But to do something as broad as we did earlier this year, I think that's going to be a sticking point. And I think I think that there are Republicans now who are really questioning the big stimulus that the president would like, because, hey, that's always good for, you know, election time. One of his biggest constituencies, the farmers, you know, he has sent tons of money their way. And in many cases, people are wondering why.
There was an interesting conversation on CNN yesterday between Wolf Blitzer and Nancy Pelosi when Pelosi grew visibly irritated and started talking over Wolf Blitzer. I started having PTSD from the president debate, you know, and then like they started talking over each other, and I started having flashbacks to just people yelling and you can't hear anybody. And basically Blitzer asked Pelosi, you know, why are you not open to accepting the $1.8 trillion stimulus plan initially proposed by the president? And Pelosi just launched into a speech that several people have compared to the A Few Good Men, you need me on this wall, you want me on this wall, don't question the freedoms that you have and the way I provide them. Kind of that, you know, when it's a, hey, we need more for our constituents. And they said, well, can't you, Wolf Blitzer said, can't you continue to talk to the president, get something through, and then continue to expand more further stimulus bills? And she just really dug in and said, no, absolutely not. We're not accepting less. We know people need money. These are our constituents. And there was no substantive content other than our way or the highway, which I'm sure we've seen from Trump and the Republicans as well. Mm-hmm. So it was overall very discouraging. It's difficult to track what's in this stimulus bill.
All right, let's talk about working from home. Earlier this morning, we talked to someone from Ascension, which is based here in St. Louis, and they're going to have all of their employees working from home permanently. And nearly half of people working from home say they do not adhere to a defined dress code for remote working. This is a recent survey of 1,000 remote workers. But business professional, business casual, and smart casual dressers all reported higher levels of productivity than those who were in gym clothes or their pajamas. Approximately 80% of the more formal dressers said they felt more productive during the day compared to 70% of those in gym clothes and 50% of those in pajamas. So, Amy, should employers require a dress code for their remote workers?
Well, I'm not sure how you enforce it unless you're on Zoom, at which point you need to look formal from the waist up. So I you know, there's no way to make people dress up at home. I do think there is something to waking up, making your bed, and getting dressed. I am currently not wearing a suit and tie. I can tell you that. I'm not going to dress super formal. I think a little, you know, bit more casual is okay. But yeah, unless you're on a Zoom meeting, there's no way to enforce that or to see that that person's getting dressed.
I've never seen you in a suit and tie.
Oh, my goodness. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, right, in Boston. I wanted to be fancy, so I wore a suit and I wore a bolo tie.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was pretty proud.
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, ties aren't in anymore. So even on Wall Street, they're not wearing ties. It's quite amazing. And we always thought that that was so important, de rigueur, and not anymore. And then Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey taught us that, you know, you don't have to even wear a jacket. You can wear a t-shirt and a hoodie and make a ton of money and be very productive. So I'm a little bit leery of these surveys where the employees feel that they're more productive. I wonder if data would really show us that they are more productive if they dress better.
I think my sister had a theory, though. See, I believe it. You know, like, some people are more productive once they take a shower. I'm more productive once I run. My sister had a theory that she was more productive when she put shoes on. So the shoes make you more productive.
Yeah, I think that probably the key is to at least wash your face, comb your hair, and brush your teeth. Because if you just roll out of bed, I don't know how productive you're going to feel. It is 8:49. We'll be back with Deer on Overtime. It is 8:52. Thanks for tuning into Overtime. It's round 3. Amy Marks-Kors, Charlie Brennan. I'm Debbie Monterey. I don't know if you guys have ever had the unfortunate experience of hitting a deer while driving, but the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is saying that this is the most active time for deer, which means there'll be more in the roadways at dusk and dawn. And conservation police are saying, if a deer jumps in front of your car, do not swerve. They say, hit the deer. Go ahead and hit the deer, because that is actually safer than swerving into a ditch, a tree, or into oncoming traffic. Amy, do you think you would be able to avoid the, I think it would be a natural reflex to try to swerve away from a deer.
Debbie Monterey, I was made for this very question.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, in 2016, a deer jumped out in front of my car on a two-lane country highway when I was going between 60 and 65 miles an hour. There was a car coming in the other direction and a truck behind me, and I knew, do not slam on your brakes and don't swerve. And I mean, this deer jumped out in front of me at the very, very last minute, right as I had rounded a curve. And I plowed into that sucker at 65 miles an hour. It totaled my car. All of my airbags went off. The back airbags, the front airbags. It happened so quickly. It was terrifying. But I have to say thank you to my Subaru Forester. I walked away from that. I even went on a run later in the day. I was not hurt at all.
Of course you did.
Yes, even though I totaled my car. And like I said, Subaru, I'm a Subaru owner for life now because of that. But the police officer who came said, you know, ma'am, is that deer dead? Because he showed up when we were looking for the deer. And I said, if it's not, I will go over there and wring its neck myself. Because I was so mad. They're so dumb. Like, deer
they
are the dumbest animals.
They're dumb. Ugh. They're sweet looking, but they're dumb.
Yeah, they are.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay. And yeah, it does a number on your car for sure. Charlie, any experiences?
No, thank goodness. But our good friend, Tom Ackerman, we chide him every once in a while. He was really distraught one morning when he came to work. And on the way, he had a fatal encounter for the deer. Fatal on the deer's part, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it is pretty scary. And if you see a deer on the side of the road, you literally never know what the deer is going to do. Is it going to stand there? Is it just going to stand there? Oh, God, here it comes. You know, you don't know because they're dumb.
And you know, and I will say, just shout out to West County, because I'm pretty sure it's a residency requirement to hit a deer at some point. If you live out in West County, Chesterfield, Wildwood, all of that.
I had a deer hit me once.
Yes,
because
they do that.
It was on the side of the road, and it was around Lincoln, Illinois, and we were getting over into the far lane to get away from the deer, and I was in the passenger seat, and I just remember looking, and the deer was charging our car, and all I saw was this giant buck head in the passenger window. I was like, ah! And then it just bounced off the car, and I mean, I was about to have a heart attack. It took off the side mirror, and then it ran off. I don't think it died, but it literally charged our car. And I mean, just, I will never forget seeing this giant head of a buck in the passenger window. I screamed.
That is crazy, Debbie, because a deer ran into the passenger side of my brother's car.
It's so weird. Anyway, we're just telling you, folks, if you hit the deer, I know it's awful and it's traumatic, but don't feel bad, because you could cause much worse problems for everyone around. All right, let's see. What have we got coming up? We've got 20 seconds to tell us what's on tap, Charlie.
Dr. Fred Pestello, St. Louis University, talking about his university's battle against COVID-19. And WashU Data Sciences Professor Liberty Vittert. Can the president win in November?
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scored.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.